Hey, hello everybody. just really glad to be here, and it's a beautiful day. I am so happy to see everybody's face and be a part of this Awakening Together experience. This is my first weekly gathering sermon, so I'm a little nervous. But I'm really, really excited to be sharing today. And I had the opportunity this summer to go to the retreat house, and I just, would really encourage, if you haven't done it, it's a really awesome experience. I'm still in the glow and in the revelations of that experience. So that was just amazing. So I'm And in some ways, I feel like I'm a fairly new member of Awakening Together. I've been doing MPP and engaging with some of you through the classes, but I feel just in terms of just joining the community on this level, it's a different experience, and it's been really good for me. So what I'll do at this time is I guess turn it over to you, Dawn, for our Awakening Together song, so we can have a chance to greet each other in the meeting room.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
So now I'm just going to read my statement of purpose, which is core value number five. We accept all forms as temporary appearances, permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. Now I'm going to read some announcements that we have. It's only 3 weeks until Awakening Together Fall Retreat. Did you hear that we're offering a shuttle between the California, excuse me, you know I'm nervous, right? The Colorado Springs Airport and the retreat house for the fall retreat? You can see the shuttle schedule if you go to Awakening Together website and look under to read AT News for a post called announcing the new AT Retreat House shuttle. The shuttle schedule was designed to fit with the most common flight times to coordinate with the groomed shuttle between the Denver airport and Colorado Springs. If you put off registering for the fall retreat because you weren't sure about transportation, please check out our shuttle schedule. Rides are $60 each way. Shauna and Isadora are our shuttle drivers. To reserve a shuttle, you can use the contact us form under about on the Awakening Together menu, or you can email Regina directly. The Awakening Together Sanctuary will operate on a reduced schedule during the fall retreat, but it will be open many of the same hours, and a portion of the fall retreat will be broadcast live in the sanctuary. You'll learn more about that as we get closer to the fall retreat. However, since the sanctuary won't be closed entirely during the fall retreat, we are looking for volunteers to take some open slots on Wednesday, October 23rd and Wednesday, October 30th. These slots are open for 2 weeks only because the regular teachers will be at the fall retreat and unavailable to teach during their regularly scheduled time. We'd love it if some of you would step up and fill a temporary teaching slot for those 2 weeks. If you are interested, contact Dawn at awakeningtogethersanctuary@gmail.com and she'll let you know which time slots are still available. Please join us tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, for an in-depth special interview. Jay McCormick will interview our very own Jacqueline Eckert. Jacqueline will answer questions about her personal spiritual journey, and she will talk about how being the vice president of Awakening Together is affecting her spiritual growth and healing. So join us in the sanctuary tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for this very special program. And that's it for our announcements. I'm going to go to our opening song.
Yeah, cool job. She told me time is such a wonderful gift. You're not running out, you're really running in. Confusion clouds the heart, but it also points the way.
Feel the surrender in that. I would just like us to just deepen into this moment. Take a deep breath. Lead us into prayer. So grateful for this moment. So grateful for the love that we are all bathed in. So grateful for that diverse ways that God is expressing through each and every one of us. I know that healing is always happening. Love is always happening. Love is never leaving. I know that the perfection of God is always unfolding for each and every one of us. I know that as I open my heart and give willingness to be open to what comes through me today, that there is a deep awareness that is awakening to each and every one of us. And I say, and so it is. And so now we'll have our reading by Shauna Summers. Shauna.
Thank you, Beverly. And I just wanted to say congratulations for your first homily. This is so exciting. And I got the pleasure of meeting you at the Silence and Satsang Retreat. And although it was a silent retreat, I think that's a great way to get to know people. So you're beautiful. So Beverly's having me read from the Spiritual Teachings of Ramana Maharshi. And if you have the little book, I'm going to start on page 77. So this book is set up with questions from devotees and then Ramana answers. So this is a devotee. In this life, beset with limitations, can I ever realize the bliss of the self? Ramana Maharshi answers, that bliss of the self is always with you, and you will find it for yourself if you seek it earnestly. The cause of your misery is not in the life without. It is in you as the ego. You impose limitations on yourself and then make a vain struggle to transcend them. All unhappiness is due to the ego. With it comes all your trouble. What does it avail you to attribute to the happenings in life the cause of misery, which is really within you? What happiness can you get from things extraneous to yourself? When you get it, how long will it last? If you would deny the ego and scorch it by ignoring it, you would be free. If you accept it, it will impose limitations on you and throw you into a vain struggle to transcend them. To be the self that you really are is the only means to realize the bliss that is ever yours. The devotee asks, not having realized the truth that the self alone exists, should I not adopt bhakti, which is devotion, and yoga margas, which is a spiritual practice, as being more suitable for purposes of spiritual practice than self-inquiry? Let me read that again. Not having realized the truth that the self alone exists, should I not adopt a bhakti and yoga margas as the more suitable for purposes of spiritual practice than self-inquiry? Is not the realization of one's absolute being that is self-realization something quite unattainable to a layman like me? Ramana Maharshi answers, self-realization is not a knowledge to be acquired so that acquiring it, one may obtain happiness. It's one's ignorant outlook that one should give up. The self you seek to know is verily yourself. Your supposed ignorance causes you needless grief, like that of the 10 foolish men who grieved the loss of the 10th man who was never lost. So this is a cool story. It's a parable that Ramana tells this devotee. The 10 foolish men in the parable forded a stream, and on reaching the other shore, wanted to make sure that all of them had, in fact, safely crossed the stream. One of the 10 began to count, but while counting, others left himself out. I see only 9. Sure enough, we have lost one. Who can it be? He said. Did you count correctly? Asked another, and did the counting himself. But he too counted only 9. After the other, each of the 10 counted only 9 because missing himself. We are all only 9, they all agreed. But who is the missing one? They asked themselves. Every effort they made to discover the missing individual failed. Whoever he be, that is drowned, said the most sentimental of the 10 fools. We have lost him. So saying, he burst into tears, and the rest of the 9 followed suit. Seeing them weeping on the riverbank, a sympathetic wayfarer inquired for the cause. They related that they had what had happened and said that even after counting themselves several times, they could find no more than 9. On hearing the story, but seeing all 10 of them before him, the wayfarer guessed what had happened. In order to make them know for themselves that they were really 10, that all of them had come safe from the crossing, he told them, let each of you count for himself, but one after the other, serially, 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on, while I shall give you each a blow, so that all of you may be sure that having been included in the count and included only once. The 10th missing man will be found. Hearing this, they rejoiced at the prospect of finding their lost comrade and accepted the method suggested by the wayfarer. While the kind wayfarer gave a blow to each of the 10 in turn, he that got the blow counted himself out loud. 10, said the last man, as he got the last blow in his turn. Bewildered, they looked to one another. We are 10, they said it with one voice and thanked the wayfarer for having removed their grief. So that's the parable. From where was the 10th man brought in? Was he ever lost? By knowing that he had been there all the while, did they learn anything new? The cause of their grief was not the real loss of any one of the 10. It was their own ignorance, rather than their mere supposition that one of them had been lost, though they could not find who he was, because they only counted 9. Such is also the case with you. Truly, there is no cause for you to be miserable and unhappy. You yourself impose limitations on your true nature of infinite being, and then weep because you are but a finite creature. Then you take up this or that sadhana, spiritual practice, to transcend the non-existent limitations. But if your sadhana itself assumes the existence of the limitations, how can it help you to transcend them? Hence I say, know that you are really the infinite pure being, the absolute self. You are always that self and nothing but that self. Therefore, you can never be really ignorant of the self. Your ignorance is merely a formal ignorance, like the ignorance of the 10 fools about the lost 10th man. It is this ignorance that caused them grief. Know then that true knowledge does not create a new being for you. It only removes your ignorant ignorance. Bliss is not added to your nature. It is merely revealed as your true and natural state, eternal and imperishable. The only way to be rid of your grief is to know and be the self. How can this be unattainable? And that's the end of the reading. Thank you, Beverly.
Thanks, Shauna. I kind of was drawn to this reading as I was rereading Ramana Maharshi teachings. We read this book in MPP, and as I was rereading it, this just struck me as very simple, pure, humorous. it was just so simple in terms of recentering and knowing the truth. So, let's see here. I entitled my sermon "The Bliss of the Self," for this reading, of course. And I did this because this is something that I keep coming back to. I keep coming back to in my life recently, is just finding that bliss. My latest perceived struggle has been with the circumstances surrounding my daughter, Nia, and her eating disorder and some other emotional issues that have surfaced since. And, you know, some of you know who maybe heard my homily or was in class with me, that she was hospitalized for a couple weeks and it was touch and go, and she's doing so, so much better. So I just want to take this second just to give thanks to all of the ways in which I was met during this time. My husband, who is an amazing, amazing person, he basically was Dia's lifeline. He's a stay-at-home dad, and he was so there for her. And without him, she couldn't be doing as well as she's doing. And just giving thanks to, you know, all her caregivers, and, you know, Awakening Together for being an amazing anchor for me through that time, for the work of Awakening Together. The support has just been phenomenal. There's something about a life change that seems to bring you to a fork in the road, and it's at that moment that you either know what you know or you begin to panic. And there were times that I would really do both. I would know what I know and stand in that truth and feel completely untouched. And then there were times, of course, that I would panic and I would have to get back to that place. Bliss seemed to be elusive since we had started this journey. And we were looking for the outer to bring us peace through either actions of our own or interventions that we were seeking. So what attracted me to the song, You Can't Rush Your Healing, was that I could just feel the holiness in that song. When I first heard it, you know, I just cried. I felt such surrender, as I mentioned before. And all I could feel was love just well up within me and just well up all around me. It was like nothing else there. I could feel in my soul that no matter what the appearance and no matter what the circumstance, that I'm always, always standing on holy ground. And the truth is right here. And that love is always right here. So we sometimes feel that when the trouble is over, then we can feel whole and complete. But it's in the midst of what looks like a hurricane that we can see the face of God very clearly if we just look. It is possible to know the truth when the lie shows up. And it is truly true that there is nowhere where God is not. We were told that there's this phenomenon with eating disorders that when your child reaches their goal weight, the brain sort of resets itself and the symptoms begin to disappear. And this is research that I guess that they found in like the last 10 years. So this was not the case with Nia. And we were so obsessed with hitting the goal weight. We just so wanted to be done and wanted to do whatever we could do to just be finished. But the healing was not done. The truth is that I could have been done any time that I chose. I became so outer directed that I needed the illusion to tell me when I was done. And what I realized is that if we rely on outer appearances as our compass, we will never be done. And I had to decide not to suffer. The song says, love is never leaving. At no point does the self abandon. It is love. And it is incapable of abandonment. And at the times when I'm willing to abandon mind, I can feel this love so present, so unwavering, so palpable, so undeniably real. I feel so held, and I know in these moments to do absolutely nothing. I know that my healing lies in my ability to abide in the self, this background awareness, my very being. Anytime I feel the urgency to be anywhere but here, I release into the knowing that miraculous things are happening and I refuse to get in the way. The reading for today asked the question, in this life of limitation, can I ever realize the bliss of the self? What I got was, I know that it is the ego within me that is responsible for all of my misery. I can no more attribute to life happenings the cause of my misery than I can the cause of my happiness, according to Ramana Maharshi. Reading also says, if you accept the ego, it will impose limitations on you and throw you into a vain struggle to transcend them. And my understanding of this is to accept any form of limitation through an acceptance of appearances is to buy into a struggle with the commitment to transcend it. Or realize immediately that there is no struggle. When we buy into appearances, we are signing up for the illusion and whatever it may ask of us. I have known the self-imposed limitation, and I have known the gymnastics that it requires to transcend or to achieve this imaginary transcendence, because there really is nothing to transcend. I've fallen on this hook so many times. The notion or the problem that I have accepted now requires transcendence. I know the ego must be saying that will keep her busy for a while. I don't know if any of you ever have played the game whack-a-mole at a carnival or a fair, but it's kind of like what this is like. The self-imposed limitations are endless. The little heads bobbing upward represent all the ways that my peace can be disrupted by the outer. The question that I've asked myself is how to remain unaffected by appearances and keep my heart open. I feel callous at times as I'm refusing to engage in the dynamic that is before me. I sometimes feel the need to shut down for my own self-preservation. This is not quite the same as transcendence. Shutting down feels like an ego mechanism. My MO has been to fix it. So I go from trying to fix it to Bev has checked out completely. I have had to learn that loving and having compassion have nothing to do with making everything okay. My interpretation of the situation is often, you know, do something, just do something. And I've learned not to take my little S self so seriously as I begin to realize that it is not a threat. In the past, I think I have been threatened or disturbed by the turbulence of another's discontent. Holding my own discontent and my urge to fix is where my healing is. Regina mentioned in Gentle Healing the other night that when we are suffering, we are in the belief that the severity of the appearance is greater than the truth. If we are able to see that awareness remains unaffected, we can be free immediately. I love this. The appearances always challenge our commitment to truth. In medicine, we talk about practices in medicine being evidence-based. The practice is accepted based on the evidence provided. This is similar to how we accept appearances. Appearances would seem to provide plenty of evidence that we should be fearful, angry, sad, or threatened. But the truth is, the evidence is being provided by the illusion itself. The illusion and the proof of its existence are one. So as I abide in truth, the appearance has less and less power. The story of the 10 men and the wayfarer shows that ignorance is the cause of our suffering. Just as the 10 men were not aware of their wholeness as they counted each other repeatedly, our ignorance of what we are keeps us in a state of worrying, searching, and mourning that which could never be lost. Contemplating this reading really helped me to look at myself closely and ask, what did you lose? When I'm believing appearances, I sometimes look at my Nia and think to myself, she's gone. Then as I listen to myself, my Nia, I see the ownership, my idea, my dream, my illusion never really existed. It is only my idea that is dying, another branch of me. This branch is a big one and feels very close to the root, very scary. I have worked hard to cultivate this branch of me. I have seen its potential. I have grown this branch of me in my mind. What will it mean to me if this branch should wither? What meaning have I given to this branch of myself, this non-reality that has taken on a life of its own? What comes to me is that I am not the mother of this most awesome, talented child, nor am I the mother of a child with an eating disorder or emotional problems. Both identities just rename the branch so my ego can reorient itself. I am neither. I am choosing to still myself in the self. All wisdom comes from this place, and it is so organic, so absolutely perfect, so filled with grace. I dare not allow ignorance to take its place. When the darkest, most hopeless corner of my mind rears its head, I shower it with stillness. All race consciousness with its opinions, statistics, and outcomes must be still in the presence of the one mind. The self is the silencer of ignorance. When it comes, whether it comes from within or from without. Crisis for me has become synonymous with ignorance as I know that I am never really in crisis. I am like one of the 10 foolish men who forgot to count himself. I'm looking everywhere but where the self can be found. Crisis for me has become a wake-up call. It has become a call to come home. I'm not saying that I'm not affected by it, but it wakes up something in me. I would call awareness. I am beginning to choose awareness over resistance, and it is the awareness that is unaffected. The more I give my attention, the more I give it my attention, the more it seems to move from the background to the foreground. It was incredible to me to find that bliss can be experienced from this place. And I'm not talking about fake it till you make it. I mean, actual bliss can be had, though outer circumstances remain the same. There was a time when I was going to work and putting on a fragile mask trying to make it through the day. But from this place, I would be able to genuinely be at peace and make absolutely nothing of my outer circumstances. In order to do this, I could not abandon my post in the self. As soon as I would, I could see my belief in appearances creeping in. When experiencing this bliss, it was like an oasis in the desert, only the oasis was real and the desert was not. I have not extinguished my belief in appearances completely. Awareness, however, has given me a window into what I am, and that has remained. The phrase that I found to be both humorous and healing was, you yourself impose limitations on your true nature of infinite being, and then weep that you are but a finite creature. Then you take up this or that sadhana to transcend the non-existent limitations. But if your sadhana or spiritual practice itself assumes the existence of limitations, how can it help you transcend them? There seems to be this mocking of spiritual thinking that misses the mark. It is as if your ego has set up an endless obstacle course for you to run in order to transcend it. The insight I got from this was this story about the 10 men was that nothing is amiss, nothing is wrong, nothing is out of place, nothing needs healing, nothing is required to transcend that which is non-existent, except knowledge of the self. This recognition in and of itself is a miracle. As we follow guidance and navigate this world with this understanding, we know in the most intimate way that it is already done. As we aspire to know the self, grief cannot stay. Fear cannot stay. Ignorance cannot stay. Truth is not found but revealed. And as I have yo-yoed with circumstances, good days and bad days, triumphs and setbacks, I realize that this is the lingo of the ego. This is the limitation that I have set up and must now transcend. This is a cool game that the ego has designed for me and I no longer desire to play. It is a loser's game because it requires that you accept as a number one rule that you are a body and that you are limited. As the five alarm fire sounds, as it often does in our home, I remember that nothing is required of me. It is the ego that is summoning my attention to the appearance. It demands that I respond. It would seem that there is no rational response to what is before me at times. And the truth is, there is no rational response to the appearance that is before me. I try to focus on the awareness within me and just listen. So where is this bliss? How can one have bliss with so much self-created drama? How can we stop this habit of looking for the 10th man? How can we no longer weep for that which cannot be lost? How can we learn to not look without and remember the self and the completeness therein? It is the knowledge of self that makes one complete. I no longer try to make intellectual, medical, or spiritual sense of the appearances before me. Knowledge of self removes all ignorance and attempts to explain illusions. I know that bliss is not added to my nature. It is merely revealed as my true and natural state, as Ramana Maharshi states. And I know that I'm always at home. So this concludes my sermon. And as we enter contemplation, this is a song that I would like to play. I know many of you, or all of you, are familiar with The Wizard of Oz. And when I was 10, there's a play called The Wiz, which is based on The Wizard of Oz, that I love very much. And there's a song called Home that was sung by the singer Stephanie Mills. And I just love her version of Home. And Home for me is like the self. So I will try and attempt to play that for you.
Place where there's peace, quiet, and serenity. And that's where some of my friends have gone. Friends who have traveled with me through my wonderful experience in Oz. A journey I'll never forget.
When I think of home, I think of a place where there's love. Tall
So if anybody would like to share. Oh, okay. Regina?
I'll start it off. I was pausing because it looked like several people were deeply touched, and I thought that maybe someone else who was more personally touched would want to share. Maybe they'll come a little later. I just thought it was a fabulous homily. And the reason it was fabulous, of course, is that you were looking at a true life, extremely difficult situation, and using your spirituality to look at it. And I found, you know, I kind of wish this wasn't true, but I found that those really difficult situations are the best teachers. In my spiritual history, that's where I made the greatest strides, the most progress. But of course, it only happens if you do it the way you're doing it, the way you described. You know, if you allow yourself to get thrown completely into the crisis, there's no spiritual progress at all. You know, and one of the lines that always helped me when I was going through my different crises was, you know, one of the very first spiritual books I ever read was Peace Pilgrim. And one of the things that Peace Pilgrim said in that book was, the ego always knows the weakest spot in your armor. Which means the ego knows exactly what crisis will get us listening 100% to it again. Like, just throw our spiritual teaching right out the window and go right back 100% to our conditioning and our trying to control. And because it knows the weakest spot in our armor, the amount of courage that it takes to follow our spiritual teachings, even when these things that are so important to us are happening, is phenomenal. And I think that's why we make our greatest strides then. I remember somebody once, you know, being a little facetious, you know, making fun of the spiritual teachings, contacting me. I think it was via email once, and said, this was back when ISIS was in the news every day. And said, well, if ISIS kidnapped you and tortured you, would you still, you know, say the world is not real? You know, I am not the body. And, you know, first of all, I kind of giggled at the question because the likelihood of that occurring was pretty dang slim. but then I really looked at it and I thought the answer is, I would hope that in a situation like that, I would go much, much deeper into the teachings. And so that was the response I gave. And that's really what we need to do with our crises, regardless what they are. Those are the opportunities when the rubber meets the road, as they say. Those are the opportunities to really go deeply into the teachings and to see that the teachings are true. You know, that's when we find out that these teachings are true. So I appreciate your courage. I appreciate your commitment. I appreciate your sharing, and I'm going to release the mic and see if anyone else wants to share now. Thank you.
Well, I just want to say a big thank you, Reverend Beverly. What Regina just was talking about, the crisis, literally, I just got news right before the Sunday gathering. My son, a couple days ago, had been taken in. He got Baker acted. And just before this whole Sunday thing, I was right back into the ego and believing its horror story and the crisis, that it's real. And this, I'm going to have to listen to your sermon again and again and again, because it was so perfect of what I needed to hear. They're trying to say, now I already told my ex, we need to get a second opinion, but they're trying to say that he's schizophrenic. So that's the diagnosis. I don't know if we see someone else, what will happen, but I literally, that just came in, and hearing your words, Beverly, I got to take that in, because that's my weakest link. Alex, my son, is my weakest link with that. And of course, you know, I don't know about you, but who wants to hear that your son has that diagnosis? So I need the support of this community right now, like never before, because this is just
blindsided. This is like a lot. And I would love to be where you guys are right now, but right now I'm just like, I almost can't believe it. I just got that news. And it's like blowing. I don't even know if I should take a PTO right now, you know, honestly. But I don't want to look at the circumstances and say this is how it is. And I'm same with like Beverly, with just wanting to fix it and make it better. And I don't have a freaking clue. I don't. And yeah, so I was feeling a little hopeful and listening to her until I started talking about my mess.
You know, I was going to share exactly about that. You know, there is no thing. There is nothing about fixing. I remember when I heard that Sarah was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, and I remember the shock and just a lot of like, you know, what the heck, you know, what did I do? And I just took all this personal, I just took it so personal. You know, I thought, oh my God, I must have done something so terrible to have a daughter born with a disability like that. You know, I had no idea at the time when it was actually going on, you know, what it would really, you know, what would unfold and how, what, you know, how it would take place. And it was a very, very fearful time. So I am, you know, my heart is with you right now, Dawn. I really, you know, I just want you to know that. But we also have to remember, you know, and I'm only speaking from my own personal experience, that when we, like what Bev was sharing, when we get involved in the story of it, it makes it more real. It makes it more dramatic. It causes us to not focus on what is really, really going on. And that is, we have no idea why. I have no idea why Sarah chose to come into this world the way she did. And when I finally got to that place of understanding and acceptance that it has nothing to do with me, you know, it's like, it's almost like a grandiosity. Like, how dare me actually think that, you know what I mean? It's like the other part of it. It's the pendulum. It's, you just have to really, yes, hang on to us, grasp, you know, reach out. You know, we have to be here for each other, because you know, there are times when it's very scary and we have no idea what's going on. But just know that that you are loved. You know, Bev, I just appreciate your open, honest homily, because when I was just going back just a little bit, I really don't think about the past that much anymore. But one thing that really touched me was when you said that, you know, that you realized, you became very aware that, you know, you were trying to, you know that the ego would grasp and try to fix things. And then if you didn't fix things, you would check out. And that's exactly what I did. And I know that. And I don't feel guilty about it anymore. I'm just grateful that I'm aware that that's what I was doing. And so I have a choice now. It's like, so now that I'm aware of how I was handling things at the time, now I have a choice to, you know, do it different. Be there, you know, because Sarah's still going through crisis. You know, there's still a lot of drama going on in her life. And I am choosing to not take it on as if it's my problem. Still loving her, still supporting her, still knowing that I could be there for her, But I am not willing to go down this road of depression, sadness, despair, which I am so familiar with. And I want to thank you for reminding me that, you know, there is that bliss. And that's what I am. So I don't have to, you know, overthink this and, you know, get into a big story. I just have to remember who I truly am. And with all the practice that we do, you know, it's really becoming very aware, very apparent to me that my practice is so important over everything. It's just so important to be consistent. And that has been my struggle this year. And so I am just becoming more and more aware that my practice is going to take me through anything that comes up. Thank you again. And I love you, Dawn.
Okay. I really am just grateful for everybody sharing. Dawn, my heart goes out to you. I think the most powerful phrase sometimes is, I don't know. Because it opens the door for listening and guidance, you know. And I think sometimes the ego does say, you know, here's the problem. There's a problem, you know. And that's, once you accept that, you're kind of in for a rocky road. So I think just to keep remembering that, to be still. And I think that something important and holy is happening, and just to be still. That's what I, you know, day to day, that's what I try to do, is just to be still and not let the appearances become more than just that. So I am very, very grateful for this community. And I actually had picked a song that is very upbeat for the ending of this. Because it kind of really reminds us to remember that we are free, you know, even though sometimes we don't believe it or life would show us things that lead us to believe otherwise, but we are free. And
Beverly, before you play that, Joanne has had her hand up for a while.
Oh, sorry.
Great. It's okay.
Hello, everybody. I just want to say briefly, you're very brave, Beverly. I really enjoyed listening to you. And Dawn, I'm sorry for what you're experiencing. My mother used to say, sometimes there's just no answer. I'm sorry, I can feel your pain. I didn't think I was going to die, but I'll move on. I just want to say that I know we're not here to offer advice, but I think, you know, as an outside observer, I can say that the way the world, the illusion of the world appears to be right now, I can certainly understand why these people are scared and, you know, react. It's hard enough being an adult in this world right now. My heart is with you.
Thank you, Joanne. I can feel your love.
Hey, Beverly, yeah, I'd love to take the mic. If that's okay. I was so afraid I was going to cry, so... Your sharing inspired me so much that I was just, I didn't know if words would come out because I'm so viscerally full right now. You know, the love for truth is just alive in each and every one of us, you know, and it pulls us all so differently. And, you know, I was listening to you going like, wow, I am you now. You know, in Awakening Together, a reverend, you know, loving the crisis for providing me with bliss, you know, but I was also your daughter. And, you know, and the years of just the addiction and control and image and appearance, trying to make myself worth something, was just this craving for the perfection of what truth is and trying to make the outward appearance match that, you know. And I understand it so clearly today, how my love for love was just always there. And I was never guided correctly. And but learning about the spiritual path along with the crisis was pivotal and key for me, because I was learning what my ego was trying to take me toward in adversity. And it was a great teacher. And, you know, my mom today is like, you know, it made me so strong, because I had to love you no matter what. And now I see that it's turned you into this, and I couldn't be more like grateful for the experience. So yeah, like I know the story, and it was just so good to hear it from such a new light perspective, and one with like bravery and honesty and emotion, that I'm like really happy to be human today, you know? And my mantra right now is no experience can hurt me. No appearance can really truly hurt me. And I know that sometimes the most in the intense pain, believe it or not. And I thank those moments for pushing me so far into the dark that all I know is the light. So thank you, everybody. And I love you guys.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, that it really means a lot to hear that. Thank you. Is there anyone else? I guess that's it. I have a hard time seeing. I see you, Dawn, and everybody here really just moving into a place of just knowing and just the stillness that has all of the wisdom that we need. And we love you. Love you all. So as I was saying, I was going to move into just a remembrance of the freedom that we all are. See if I can do that.
Hey, oh, hey, yeah, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I'm taking my freedom, pulling it off the shelf, putting it on my chain. Around my neck, I'm taking my freedom, putting it in my car. Wherever I choose to go, it won't take me far. I'm living my life like it's golden, 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 golden, living my life like it's 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 golden. Running it in my song, singing loud and strong, moving all day long. I'm taking my freedom, putting it in my soul. I'll be hot stepping, y'all, letting the joy unfold. I'm living my life like it's golden, 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 golden, living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden. Living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden, golden. I'm holding on to my freedom, can't take it from me. I was born into it.
That concludes our service for today.